Hi everyone, welcome to the Deep Psychology Podcast. I'm your host, Ross Edwards, and today we're going to be finishing the January series on how to keep your New Year's resolutions. Just want to say before we get going that you might like to sign up to my newsletter. It's a fortnightly newsletter where I share just updates on my work, my podcast, my books, my music, and my coaching. And there's no spam. I don't spam you. It's just short monthly updates, keeping you in the loop with what I'm up to. If you like this podcast, you might like to join the newsletter. So head to the podcast description, sort of the main, on the main channel, to find the link to that. We've got, I don't know, I'm getting a few subscribers every single day to the newsletter. So the numbers are really starting to add up, and it's really great to see. But anyways, we're going to talk today about how to keep your New Year's resolutions, because in the last two episodes, what we've focused on is why do people not keep their resolutions? And basically the conclusion that I've drawn is that often it's a developmental thing. People set New Year's resolutions as a way to kind of fit in or signal to other people, but in their psychological development, they simply aren't at a place where they can reliably set goals, pursue them, and reach them. It's like a developmental limitation. And that is, I think it's quite a unique insight. I mean, it's not really my insight alone, but you don't really hear even sort of productivity people or, you know, people like, what's his name, James Clear. You don't really hear people talking about this. They just focus on the sort of external behavior and what is required to, you know, become very effective and get things done. But they don't really explain perhaps what blocks people on a deeper level. And on a deep level, what is going on is that there's literally a developmental limitation. And we spoke about that last week in a lot of detail. So you might like to head back to last week's episode. What we're going to cover today specifically is a kind of overview of how do you actually reach goals, like practically, without getting all motivational on you and getting all like law of attraction on you. Like really, what does it actually look like? Because it's actually not that difficult. You know, if you don't have that developmental limitation where you literally just, you do not see the self as changeable, and you don't really have the drive to achieve things, you just have the drive to fit in, well, it's actually quite simple to reach goals. I think the problem is we often mythologize it, and even though we go to school and university and all the rest of it, no one really sits down and tells us how this actually works. Now, I don't have the time to get into everything because I could be here for hours. In fact, I've got a free course on my website, called Master Autodidactism. You don't even need to sign up for it. It's literally just there. And it's hours and hours of explanation and principles and all the rest of it. Today, we're just going to keep it really concise because with, you know, it's like the 80-20. If you know this stuff, you're going to know sort of 80% of what is necessary. So let's not muck around anymore. Let's get to the key principles. What I mean by the key principles, sort of the key psychological principles that you want to keep in mind over time once you've set a goal and once you're trying to reach it. And if you literally remember these three things, it will really help you, and it will help you overcome all the obstacles you're going to face, which the obstacles you face often rub up against these three principles I'm going to share with you. And they make you question them, but they are true and you need to hold steady to them. And from that, everything else comes. If you don't have these three principles, and people who are pre-achiever level of psychological development don't have these principles, they don't really see them. And so that's often why they can't make progress. First of all, the self is not fixed. Now, we spoke about this last week, but just want to make it very stark that you as a person are not fixed. You're not fixed psychologically. You're not fixed biologically. You're not fixed neurologically. Yes, biologically and neurologically, you are not fixed. This is literal scientific fact. You're actually highly changeable. And when it comes to things like skills, you are extraordinarily changeable. Okay, so I want you to reflect on your mindset a little bit and ask, you know, do I see myself as fundamentally changeable and capable of putting, of changing who I am, my capacities, my personality, my skill set? Because if you're constantly telling yourself, I can't change, that's not who I am, this is the way I am, I'll always be bad at this or that, I'll never be able to develop the skills in that area and this other area, you're really just setting yourself up for a fall. And you're not realizing that you're not actually fixed as a person. And again, this isn't just like a nice idea. It's a fact, but it's also something that you can't really appreciate until a certain level of psychological development, which is why I've spoken so much about psychological development this month. So the self is not fixed. So whenever you're saying, I am this way and I cannot change, in whatever area in your life, it's not true. Now, I'm not saying it's easy to change, but fundamentally you are not fixed, right? You are changeable. Second principle is that change occurs through steady, diligent effort applied over months and years. Wow, this is so crucial. And oh man, like, as someone who has developed skills in a lot of different areas, some more visible than others, people in general just do not understand this. Like, they don't understand it when you suck, because they kind of think, well, if he started something, he should be good within a week or a month. And that never really happens unless it's something quite trivial. And when you're good, they don't understand that you took ages to get there. They just don't see it. They just think you've kind of woken up one day and you're there, and they don't see the change over time, and they don't see all the effort involved, right? Change occurs with effort. You don't just wake up one day and know how to sing well, for example. You need to put in a lot of effort, and the effort is up front. The effort comes before you see the change, right? And often it's a lot of effort and a lot of it feels like empty effort, really, because for years even, you can be practicing something and you're really just not at a level that you want to be. You just have to trust that change does happen through steady, diligent effort applied over months and years. And yes, you will see, you know, short term, you see the change, but it's really a long term thing. Long term is really where you start to see the results. Now, again, you need to know this. Like, you absolutely need to know this if you're going to try and invoke change in any area in your life. And when we're talking about New Year's resolutions, we're talking about change, essentially. So you must know this. Change occurs through steady, diligent effort. And I want you to compare that with how you consider change to work right now. You know, if you see someone with a successful business, do you think they just woke up one day with a successful business? You might tell yourself, no, I don't believe that. But there might also be a part of yourself that it does actually think that is true. And it's simply not true. And you might think of the same about guitar players, about pianists, about, you know, people who speak a different language very well, and so on and so on. It doesn't happen like that. It happens through steady, diligent effort. Third point, which I've kind of touched on, but I want to make this very explicit, that change becomes exponential and eventually overtakes your current possibility horizon. So a couple of things to explain here. Exponential, I think you probably all know what that means, but just in case, exponential has a very sort of precise mathematical meaning, but you can just think of it as like a hockey stick curve. You know, the shape of a hockey stick, it's sort of flat where the head of it is, and then as you go up towards where you hold it, it gets steeper and steeper and steeper. It's like a ever steeper curve. That's exponential. So change becomes exponential. In other words, in shorter time intervals, you see greater change over time. Now, that doesn't mean you're constantly seeing change. It just means that what once was very slow and sort of progressive and almost invisible becomes very visible and kind of shocking. And that leads into the second sort of sub point, which I made, which is that it eventually overtakes your current possibility horizon. What I mean by that is that when you're starting out with something, you have an idea of where you want to get to. For example, if you start learning a language, right, and you go on holiday to France every year, you might say to yourself, well, if I could just get to the stage where I could order in a restaurant and maybe have a joke with the waiter and, you know, not feel like I had to kind of force it too much and memorize set phrases, it could be sort of fluent and relaxed, right? Overall, that is a pretty modest language learning goal. It is, like, in the grand scheme of things. I'm not saying it's a trivial goal, I'm just saying it's quite small in the grand scheme of things. But when you're starting out, it seems like quite a big goal, and you look at it and you look and it seems to be far off on the horizon somewhere. That's what we're calling your possibility horizon. It's sort of what you think is possible within the time frame that you're looking at. What I'm saying here is that if you go and you study French, if you study French for long enough, for months and years, steadily, diligently, remembering the self is not fixed, of course, your French will go way, way, way beyond that goal which you thought was so big and so important, right? It overtakes, and this can happen to smaller degrees or it can happen to very large degrees, your current possibility horizon. And this is really important because it gets you to step outside your current possibility horizon, which is often quite small because you're thinking about short-term contingencies. You're not really thinking about what could happen long term, and because long term goals are very kind of abstract, and once you start thinking beyond a year or two, you're kind of like, your imagination starts to run out of gas a little bit, right? So we'll get onto how to actually apply this, but I just want you to remember this, because I've just seen people so often limiting themselves and saying, I just want to get from A to B, when actually you can get from A to Z. It might take you 10 times as long to do that, but you're not fundamentally limiting yourself. I've actually written a whole article about ambitious goals and why to set them, so you might want to search the website for that in the search tab. But it's really important to be more ambitious than you kind of feel comfortable with. Not like idealistically, but you know, in a way that feels like it's stretching you and it's asking you to grow. So let's get into the second section of the episode today, which is about setting goals. So there's three principles when it comes to setting goals. So you now know the three sort of big picture principles. What do you do when you actually set goals then? Well, it's best to be conservative short-term and ambitious long-term. Conservative short-term because typically in the first month, the first 6 months, the first year, you don't really make that much progress. I mean, you might relative to your starting position, but in the grand scheme of things, not really. You simply just haven't internalized it enough, whether it's an instrument or a language or like a new sort of career skill set. You be more conservative because you're going to set goals that you might actually reach. But if you think that you're going to be like totally dominate a language after 1 year, I don't care what the YouTube polyglots tell you, you're not going to do that. you're not going to do that after a year. And so if you go in with that expectation, you're going to be disappointed. So conservative short term, because remember, growth is like a hockey stick curve. It starts out flat and then it takes off. But you don't want to go into the flat part thinking it's going to take off very soon, because it won't. Ambitious long term, though, because as I said, your change becomes exponential and overtakes your current possibility horizon. So you want to kind of build that into your goals. Like if you're thinking a few years down the line, or 5, 10 years, whatever your time horizon is, build in the fact that you probably can't imagine it right now. And I know that sounds very law of attraction, like, oh, the universe will bring things to you and all this. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying effort accumulates to the point where it's unstoppable. And I have literally seen this in every area. I'm not going to list what I've done, but I can see it in every single area that I've tried to improve skills in with real zest and desire. It happens all the time. Like, you always reach a level that you couldn't have imagined to begin with. And it surprises you when you get there. So know that, and this inspires you. And also, it might feel unrealistic at the time, but it's actually very realistic. And you're not putting an artificial ceiling over you where there doesn't need to be one. Second principle for goal setting is to feel inspired. This is really important because, listen, if you're going to be doing diligent effort towards a goal for months and years, do you think you're going to be doing that if you don't like what you're working towards? No. Like, you come home from work on a Wednesday night and you've made your dinner and you've had to do the dishes and you maybe put the washing on, or, you know, made a couple of phone calls. I don't know what you do on a Wednesday night, but my Wednesday nights aren't that exciting usually. You do all that and then you think, all right, okay, I've got to learn this language, I've got to play this instrument, and you don't feel inspired when you're doing that, what do you think is going to happen? Seriously, if you like using your phone, you're probably going to just go on social media for an hour instead of doing your instrument practice or whatever it is. It needs to, like, genuinely inspire you. You need to be inspired to the point where you're thinking about it and you're looking forward to it. If you're not, like, you're not going to do the work that is necessary, and the work is really not pretty most of the time. You've got to feel inspired. So if you're setting goals and they're like, they just feel dead, or they feel like externally imposed, or you feel like you're doing them to please someone, not to really please yourself, well, yeah, it's not going to work out well for you, most likely. Third tip, align it with your imagination. So let me explain what I mean by this. So for example, right, let's say you want to learn the piano and you're thinking about, you know, what sort of goal should I set? What sort of concrete goal should I set for learning the piano? Well, what's going to happen is, in your mind, you're probably going to be imagining yourself as that pianist. Like, literally, in that moment, when you're thinking about your goals, you'll be seeing yourself in your mind. Now, what I want you to do is to actually look at what you're imagining and bring that into your goals and make it tangible. So don't just say, I want to be a good pianist in 3 or 4 years' time. Right, that's just a random goal, but it's an example of a poor goal. It's not concrete, it's not specific in any way. What does being a good pianist mean? Does that mean you're going to be playing concerts in front of thousands of people? Or does it mean you're playing at a family gathering? Like, what does it mean to you? What song are you playing? Like, when you see yourself playing the piano in your mind, and in a few years down the line, what are you actually doing? What are you playing? How does it feel? Where are you? What piano are you playing? Like, what are the details of it? And then bring those into your goal setting, because it makes it very concrete and it is aligned with your imagination, after all. And your imagination is a very powerful thing. Of course, our imagination can be wild and really not something we want to pay attention to, but When it comes to goal setting, often we go the other way. We don't pay enough attention to our imagination, and we overpower it with limiting beliefs and so on. I want you to pay attention to it and bring it into your goal setting, right? So you're sort of bringing the two together. So, conservative short-term, ambitious long-term. Feel inspired and align goals with your imagination. Those are the three principles for setting goals. Now, to finish off the episode for today and for the month, I'm going to just give you a few parting tips for the journey. One, have a rough, practical, actionable plan with slow increments underlying everything. So it needs to be concrete. You want to play the piano. What's that look like in 2 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years? What songs can you play? What books are you going to buy to do it? Are you going to do classes? Who are you going to do classes with? Where are you going to do classes? What music are you going to listen to inspire you? Like, make it very concrete. Like, you know exactly what you're talking about and where you're going. Now, your plans will probably never actually go the way you think they will, but that doesn't matter. It's about getting yourself moving and taking tangible action. Have a plan, a very specific, practical plan that is rough, and you're not clinging to it, but you're using it as inspiration and as a guide. Two, don't overthink it. Such a big trap. I see people who come to me and say, well, I'd love to learn this instrument or learn this language over here or this or that. And it's like, they're just overthinking it. Like looking for the perfect technique, the perfect teacher, the perfect book, the perfect this, the perfect that. Just start. Like, don't overthink it. Just, you have a goal, get started. Start doing it. Start working towards it. Taking all the advice I've given you, of course. But don't overthink it. Like, you're really just, wow, you're when you're overthinking, you're procrastinating essentially, and you're making something that is quite simple into a mess, basically. So don't overthink things. Don't be lazy. You're going to have to work hard to reach your goals. Like, it's unavoidable. If it's like a hobby thing, like if you're not going to be a professional piano player, but you want to learn to play to a decent level, an hour a day, 5 days a week. Or if it's language learning, an hour a day, 5 days a week. If it's going to be your career, it's going to, you know, it's like an intensive thing, do more. But an hour a day, 5 days a week, if you've got a job, is enough. And it's hard to keep up with that. So I'm asking you not to be lazy about it. Don't prefer the television or social media, or just lying around. You need to put the work in. If you're lazy about it, it's not going to happen. Think months and years. Don't think days and weeks. Don't think, oh, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to play my favorite song on the guitar. It's probably not going to happen. But months and years down the line, you'll be very surprised at what you can do. Brace yourself for sweat, resistance, fear, and doubt. This is not a symptom that you're crazy or untalented or just like flawed. These are like the backbone of the journey. I don't know how else to say it. You just got to accept this and expect it, and just continue working in the face of it. Keep your routine up, keep your plan going, keep taking action, keep being ambitious, keep yourself grounded, you know, and just expect it to be difficult. Like, it's not going to be easy. You're changing yourself, right? It's, you know, if you want to lose weight, it's not going to be easy, because you're literally changing your physiology. It's the same with skills, really. You're changing your, you know, there's biological and neurological change happening. And the sort of discomfort and the resistance and the fear that you feel are just symptoms of that. They're not a symptom of you. They're just a symptom of your system. And finally, be patient. This is, oh man, like, this is so crucial. If you want to take one thing away today, it's patience. Not passive patience, active patience. It's the patience that says, I'm working really hard, but I know it's not going to be easy, and I know this is a long journey I'm on. Right, that is patience right there. Patience is not sitting around saying, oh, well, I'll be patient and wait for the right teacher, or wait for the right moment, or wait for this circumstance to change in my life. No. Patience is an active thing, and it keeps you grounded when you're taking action. Without patience, you're not going to get anywhere. You're going to flail around for short-term results, and you're just not, your attention is going to be so consumed by what's happening now that you're not going to be able to see the big picture and where you're moving towards. All right, everyone, I think that's it for this month. Thanks a lot for joining me. Remember to sign up to my newsletter for fortnightly updates on all my work. No spam ever, I promise. I'm not one of those people. And subscribe to Deep Psychology Podcast, of course, to keep up to date with the latest episodes. I'll be back next week for the first episode in my February series, which I'm still cooking up. So that will be a big surprise for all of us, what that will be. Thank you, everyone. Take care, and I will see you very soon.